Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being a part of my day. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Ed Marsh is back. Ed has become a great member of our Brain Trust over the last handful of years. He's the founder and the principal of Consilium. He's an export expert, and he is also one of America's great veterans of the Army. Airborne troop, and we appreciate his service for that. He's our good friend, Ed Marsh. Welcome back.
Well, thank you very much, John. It's great to be back with you, and always great to chat with another paratrooper.
It's good to have you back, Ed. So let's talk about something that the military talks about all the time, and that's tactics and strategy. And sometimes you're pointing out today, sometimes we mush those together. We get a little confused. We're not clear on that. In the previous interview this week, we talked about outcomes, making sure you know what the outcome is. And a tactic is what creates the outcome, but it is not the outcome itself. Tell us what you think is how we differentiate these, how we always keep them in their own slots, in their own job, so they don't mush together. What do you think?
Well, so, you know, we both learned in the military that strategy is the big picture stuff.
Yep.
And tactics are the very detailed steps that you follow in order to achieve that. And what I often hear in talking with companies is, you know, somebody will say, oh, well, let's create a special list of people that did such and such, and we'll email it to them, and that's our strategy. Well, no, for goodness sake, that's not a strategy. That's a little bit of a detailed plan for a tactic and how you're going to execute it.
Well, that's exactly right, and I see this in companies that I've worked with over the years. People inside the company who built silos for themselves, their outcomes are their strategy for that they built for themselves is actually a tactic for the company. And but they don't convert. They have their own tactics to create their own strategy, their own outcome, which doesn't transfer all the way as a finished product to the customer. And that's another thing that I see happening inside companies. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. And there's two things really to unpack there. One is the fact that if they're not aligned around, you know, another military term that we might use is commander's intent. In other words, yeah, what you need to do and how that fits into the big picture, as opposed to what you need to do and how that fits into your own career plan and your personal, you know, ego-based KPIs. That's one piece of it. The other piece is that when people falsely label tactics as strategy, the problem, the real big problem then, is that everyone says, okay, we've got a strategy, so we don't need to think any further about it. When they don't, all they've got is tactics. But that means then this huge, important strategy piece goes undone. And the business just kind of meanders along without a compass of where it's going.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's exactly right. So what causes us to get confused? What causes us to conflate these two?
Well, number one, I think it's just definitions. People often don't step back to recognize there's a difference between the two. They kind of use them interchangeably, or strategy sounds like a grandiose term that lets somebody feel like they've accomplished more in the meeting than they actually have. So first is very clear definition. Second is holding each other accountable to be precise with our language in meetings, in documents, in minutes. When we confer with our colleagues, we all need to politely and respectfully say, wait a minute, let's back up. This sounds like a couple steps along the way. Now, what is it that what's the outcome that we're trying to achieve, as you said earlier? And therefore, how does it plug into our strategy? I think it's important to do both of those. And then, of course, management has to be absolutely clear and determined and specific and routine in their process for developing strategy, periodically evaluating it in the context of market changes, mm-hmm, revisiting it, checking the KPIs and measuring performance against it, asking everybody in every meeting, okay, what you're talking about doing this week and this month and this quarter, how does that plug into our strategy? make sure that you can confirm the correlation between the two.
Well, and making sure that the contributing entities in your group, the ones who aren't necessarily producing the finished product that the customer consumes, making sure that they understand it's okay for them to have a strategy, but it's not the strategy. It's a strategy that rolls up to the bigger picture. And if it doesn't roll up, if it only serves that silo, then it's not part of the team, right?
Yeah, I think you're spot on with that. And a great example that I see in companies is finance. People tend to think of finance tactically. Let's get the books closed for the month, for the quarter. Let's make sure that we, you know, reconcile the statements. Let's make sure right. that we're tracking down overdue invoices without ever thinking about how finance can figure strategically mm-hmm. into the company's goals and objectives.
They're not managing with their statements, are they? They're producing their statements, but they're not managing with them.
Precisely.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I'm just tried to keep getting across over the years here is the more you can learn how to manage with your statements, with your financial statements, the more empowered you will be. And even people who aren't highly sophisticated managers, if they can get in their head that managing with financial statements is not becoming an accountant, it's becoming a professional manager, right? What do you think?
Exactly. Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And of course, I value and appreciate the way that you do fix on some of these points and say them again and again and again to help people understand them. But even beyond that, I mean, let's take, for instance, a typical small manufacturing company that often grows organically, that may just have kind of ended up in a building that it bought along the way. And now they've got this intermingling of real estate assets, business future opportunity, and everything that ends up conflated, as opposed to thinking of each of these as an independent asset or value or opportunity that needs to be viewed in the context of the others.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no question about it. And so, Ed, I need your website, please.
The website is Consilium, Consilium, globalbusinessadvisors.com. That's Consilium Global Business Advisors.
Remind the audience what you guys do over there.
So I'm really a consultant that works with small and mid-sized industrial manufacturers, often capital equipment companies, and we work on strategy and digital marketing and sales and revenue growth.
All right, so check that out, folks, and we're going to come right back with our good friend Ed Marsh and talk some more about this. How do you get more of your team to focus on the big strategy, the ultimate strategy, the one that the customers love and buy and come back for more of? 20 after. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.